DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
This update is brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. Starting the NFL, week two begins tonight with the Packers hosting the Commanders. Kickoff is at 8:15. The Dolphins will play their home opener on Sunday against the Patriots. Over to the Canes, who will practice today ahead of Saturday's top 20 matchup with USF. Kickoff is at 4:30. The game can be heard here on 104.3 WQAM with countdown to kickoff at noon. And the Marlins, who beat the Nationals 8-3. Miami look to split the four-game series tonight with the first pitch at 6:40 from Lone Depot Park. Good one tonight in the NFL, Joe.
Boy, I'll tell you what, the NFL, thank God when your team didn't play well that you have other games to go to if you like the National Football League and try and figure out who's really good in two really good teams tonight. Jaden Daniels and Jordan Love going head-to-head tonight, and Green Bay looked really good against the Lions. Wow. And Washington, we'll find out. Of course, the Dolphins will play them later in the year over in Madrid. And we got a lot of news with the Miami Dolphins. If you're just joining us, get caught up on some of it. It looks like four starters are going to be out. We know two guys for sure will be out. Storm Duck is going to be out for a while. And James Daniels, the starting right guard, is on IR. Austin Jackson probably out with a toe. So your right guard and your right tackle are out, meaning most likely Keon Smith and Larry Borum will start now at the right guard and right tackle position. Cole Strange was added to the roster off of the practice squad of another team. And then we got the Darren Waller story on top of the things. And we'll get into some of the other positions that when Bo comes up here in just a few minutes, we've got that. And, of course, Brett McMurphy's going to join us. Scott Zolak will join us here in this 8 o'clock hour. So we'll cover some college football and give you find out a little bit more about the Patriots, who had a week one loss to Las Vegas. So we'll get into a lot. This Darren Waller thing, I don't want to beat it up all morning. It was one of the strangest comments that I've heard Mike say when you're trying to get a guy ready. Darren Waller, you know the background. He retired. He came back. He said he wanted to come back, but he only wanted to play for the Dolphins. He came here. He missed all the camp. He missed all of camp. He was out there, but he missed all of camp. And when I say that, he didn't do any of the practices. He didn't practice against other teams, and he didn't play in any of the three preseason games. Meanwhile, the Dolphins have him as a number one tight end on the depth chart. Hell, he's still on the number one depth chart. Here's what Mike had to say yesterday about Darren Waller.
I expect to not know what to expect until later in the week. Like I told you, he's working at this one. As long as everything goes, we'll have a chance, but we may get to the point and recognize that the risk is too great for the rest of the season. So in that case, we will have to do what's best for the team. So I wouldn't say that I'm not expecting or expecting. I'm kind of open-minded to how each and every day progresses.
So there's a chance he might play this week against the Patriots, but there's also a chance we cut him and move on or come up with some agreement or something. I don't know all the different things you can do. This is a strange one. And Bo was one of the guys that said this doesn't have a good smell to it. This just doesn't sound right. He retired from the Giants. Then after being out a year, he goes, you know, I think I can still play. Then on top of that, the Dolphins have to trade, give up a 6-round pick for him, And by the way, he's got a $2 million base salary that I believe, because he's on the 53-man roster, there's a chance he can get $2 million and never play a snap for the Dolphins. It's a different one. And right now, look at everything's under a microscope. Everything from Chris Greer down to Mike McDaniel. When you play the way you played in week one, everything is under a microscope. And not from me, not from Bo, but from ownership and Tom Garfinkel. Tom Garfinkel, one of the best CEOs in any business in sports. He got to be pulling his hair out. Like, what the F are we doing? What are we doing on this one? We're getting ready to play. So anyway, that was some of it. Hey, like I said, Patriots got their own problems right now. We'll talk to Scott Zolak a little bit later on as we get set here and get ready for week two with everything going on. The other thing that happened in this game, and by the way, it was good for me. I'm glad. We're playing all these rookies. Dante Trader ends up playing 22 snaps in the game. He made some plays. Great. Jordan Phillips got in there. He's making tackles late in the game. I'm like, play him. Zeke Biggers might play him. Jason Marshall had some good plays, and they made him look bad out in the flats. Play him. Play all these guys. I'd rather play these guys. I'd rather play Jordan Phillips over Benito Jones. And let's just, I know the upside. I know what I get with Benito Jones, the good and the bad. Jordan Phillips' upside, I want to see it. And by the way, Kimbo Camper joins us, and I've been complimenting you. You called this Darren Waller thing months ago.
Well, am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
I'm not seeing the red light.
Oh, anyway. The lights don't work.
Yeah,
now.
Okay, I get
nothing
it.
Works. Anymore. Yeah,
yeah. It just not that I'm happy that it's happened, but you know, to me, it's like Odell Beckham a second time around, right?
Yes.
You know, you get these guys. You're enamored with their name. You're enamored with what they did.
Four
or 5 years ago, and then they come in here and somehow they turn and they crap on you at the end, right? I mean,
this guy's got a hip problem, Bo.
So what did they give him? That's a $6 million tab right there, right?
I think it's $2 million. There's $2 million. The
okay, all right. But
tell Mr. Ross we're only burning two on you this year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's disappointing. And look, I'm trying to get over that game. I'm trying to kind of get the hurdle off. Okay, let's move forward. I can't get it out of my head. I can't get Tua out of my head. I can't get the lack of ability of the defensive front, which we really expected to be good, to get rolled over by an offensive line that those two guys on the left side.
Yeah.
And that entire offensive line, they made most of the yards right down the middle of the field.
Yeah, they went right between tackles on most of the runs. There was nothing fancy to the outside.
And just the whole, I don't know. And I'm with you. I see Mr. Ross down in the field before the game. Tom, you said Tom was down the game. He had his wife down there. All the partners and Mr. Ross's partners, his family. And then you bring them up in the box, and you got to look at that thing. That's the product that you put on the field. I don't, you know. To me, that's,
somebody up there had to go. I mean, this can't be your fan base players.
I know who would be saying it in the worst way, but I'm not going to mention the name.
Oh, I think I know. I think George.
Well, no, there you go. There you go.
I think he's one that doesn't care as Mr. Ross's partner.
No.
He's a billionaire down here.
Yep. And he doesn't mind.
George Perez is like, hey, are you kidding me? I came up for this. He's a huge fan.
He's a huge fan. I was talking to him before the game, and we were talking about, hey, what do you think? I go, really? You haven't seen the whole team play. And that's the other thing. You know, you go into the first game, and you've got guys in there that have not played a snap in the preseason. Austin Jackson,
and
no snaps. And Tyreek, no snaps in the games. And so how do you coordinate? How do you get coordination? I don't know. It still boggles my mind.
Well,
it really does.
Tua's getting hammered here in this world. And
Well, look, and look, Mike, you know, I mean, I tell you that Mike, I mean, the things I've seen nationally, you know, over the airwaves, boy, it's just, I mean, it's brutal, brutal. Some of the stuff that's coming out.
But this goes back for all old schoolers, and we are old schoolers. Tua didn't have his right tackle the whole off season.
Yep.
He didn't have Tyreek was out. I don't know what work they did. They told us their timing's fine and they're ready to go. It didn't look like it. Ball's too late getting out on a play down the sideline. And so this is what happens. I thought the tackling might struggle a little bit, and it looked like it out in the flats. Our guys looked didn't look great on some one-on-one tackling. And look,
dude, let's be honest. You know, Storm Duck, the corner who throughout the whole preseason, hey, this is our guy. I mean, he was our guy day one.
Well, he may once be Kahu, their guy. They went after him.
Once Kahu went down, we go, oh, this is our best. This is our best. It's the best corner we got. We're going to build the rest of this secondary other than Minka around Storm and find another corner on the other side. Boy, they went right after him and didn't waste a moment, man.
Soon as those blitzes got, you know, Bo, you said something a couple weeks ago. It sounds like I'm early on patting my buddy here on the back. You said, hey, Joe, no matter how many times you blitz or you rush the passer, even if you're a really good one, you're going to get blocked. You're going to get blocked a lot. Yeah. I don't know what the percentage you said.
Well, look, I don't know how many plays they played, but I think they played 48 plays or something. Yeah. Was that the number?
Yeah.
So in a normal game, if you have, I consider 60 plays a game about average, right?
All right.
On the, you know, maybe a little more, but it's about, and usually it's pretty equal anyway. So let's say, okay, so you play 60 plays on defense, right? Okay. If you have, you get four sacks, it's a great game, right?
Four sacks
as a team, a great game. That's four out of 60 times,
right,
that you rush. Four. You know, so that, you know.
So if you had a sack, I mean, sacks are huge. I say, the guy had a sack.
Yeah.
Or you had a pressure. How many you figure you get if you're rushing the quarterback 30 times?
So I think if you're rushing the quarterback 30 times, from my experience, because I did it, you know, I did it a lot. If you got one sack and maybe six where you made the quarterback a move.
Okay.
Made a move. I think that would be it for.
So the point is, you're still the percentage. Still,
percentage is still on their side.
And every time they had time to throw, somebody was open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daniel Jones, I don't care. I always say this, doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
If he got time to throw, and our guys, this is what everybody was worried about.
And I'll tell the other thing about pass rushing. And back in the day, look, again, this is back, you know, you bat the ball down. You know, when we would bat the ball down, you know what that meant? You just weren't getting enough pressure.
You're getting blocked.
Because you're like three.
Now you're getting throwing lanes.
You're at the line of scrimmage. You're getting the line of scrimmage. You're stonewalled.
Yeah.
But you get your hand up and you knock the ball down. You know, that's.
Hey, Bo, we got Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider. We got a huge game before we get to the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. USF. Can you believe USF is 18th in the country coming to play Miami with a big upset over the Gators coming? With a little cocky and a little fired up. Scott Zolak will also join us in this 8 o'clock hour. Patriots analyst as well. So we'll have all that for you. Right now, I want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED, low T, something you never want to go through. And if you are, it's time to get rid of it. And if your sex drive and your energy level is not where it should be or was at one time, you can get it back. Atlantic Men's Clinic, this is what they do, man. They knock out low T and ED. You know what happens to guys in their 40s? 50s, 60s, it's going to happen to every guy. Nobody gets a hall pass on it. Low T and ED will happen to you. The question is, what are you going to do about it? You're just going to get old and become just good friends and be tired all the time? Or are you going to go to Atlantic Men's Clinic and get great results, get the T, the PSA test done? They'll put you on a program. Their professionals come in and meet with you, get you on a program that's perfect for your situation with 7 locations in South Florida to serve you. 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment. Are you ready to get your energy back? Are you ready to feel better? How about chase that sweet-looking wife of yours around again? 877-455-7300 for AtlanticMen'sClinic.com.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Word, but I think beating Florida is the best thing that could happen for Mario Cristobal and the Hurricanes, because now, you know, this was an obvious look ahead to Florida, but now seeing the USF beat Florida, that's going to grab your attention. I think the Canes are the much better team. I think also, you know, as impressive as USF's win was, if anybody watched that game, Florida lost that game as much as USF won it. I mean, Billy Napier's game clock management in the final 3 minutes, I've literally spent more time answering this question than Cristobal ran off the clock, you know, the final 2 minutes, which allowed USF the game-winning field goal. And then also, this is the USF's third consecutive game against a ranked team. They're trying to become only the fifth team in college football history to start the year 3-0 with three wins against ranked opponents. And finally, the last thing why I really like Miami here is that, in the past 2 years, there's been seven Group 5 teams that have upset Power 5 teams. And then the following week, those guys are only 1-6 straight up. So I think Miami will pull away from what will be kind of a out of gas USF team, and obviously Miami will have no issues staying up for Florida. But it may be tied early, but again, USF's offense has been okay, but they've taken advantage of a lot of mistakes by Boise State and certainly by Florida, who had I think two or three touchdowns called back by penalties, but. I think the Canes. Get the 3-0 pretty easily here.
Well, when the schedule came out, everybody was looking at that Florida Miami game, right? Big rivalry game, and this and that. And all of a sudden, it's that other little team in Florida.
Yeah.
They just sneak up and bit them in the ass. Now all of a sudden, this game has become. Look, this is an important game for Mario. Look, not only Billy Napier have problems. You know, he hasn't really called a real clean game himself over the last couple games. So, and he's had some history of that. So it could be very interesting.
Yeah. It shows you what all the experts know, right? I mean, the USF game was supposed to be a cakewalk, and now it's going to be the only, I think nationally ranked first ranked team. And it's going to be on the CW. And, we thought Florida State was going to be a cakewalk, and it looks like the Seminoles are vastly improved over last season. So, the good news is, even if Miami doesn't feel like they've had their A game in the first 2 weeks, survive in advance. I think I talked with you guys about this, a couple weeks ago, the way you no longer have to win your conference to get into the college football playoff. And that's a huge difference. I think the Notre Dame game gave Miami a huge step up on everybody as far as the playoff, and Miami can get the double digit wins. I think they're in a great, great spot for a playoff. Obviously they want to win out all of them, win the ACC and all that, but they're in a great position right now.
Hey Brett, Byron Brown, I know he's hurt a lot of last year, but boy, he could throws it pretty well, runs it. What's the best way to defend him? For you, because he will take off and run. You rush and he sees a crack, he's going to take off and go if you get after him.
Yeah, he's been very impressive. Basically, when he's been playing, USF's a totally different team. He's a big guy, so you're not necessarily going to take him down on first contact. I'm guessing the best way Miami will do that is maybe keep a spy on him. He's one of those guys that, how he goes, USF goes. So it's kind of the old adage, you want to kill the snake, you cut the head off. Well, he's definitely the head of the snake. But he's been very, very impressive, and he is finally healthy, which is good for USF.
Is Coach Napier by the way, getting back to the Gainesville situation, they're getting ready to play at LSU. Is it too early? Because we said last year he was in trouble and they played really well over the second half of the season. What's the take in the word in Gainesville on Napier right now?
Well, yes, the USF loss basically erased. It's almost like the end of last year when they finished with the 4-game winning streak. You know, it's almost like a balloon. It filled up with all this good vibes and mojo and everything. Well, the USF loss just literally poked a pin in that balloon, and it's flat now. Look, is he on a hot seat? Absolutely. But the next 4 weeks, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, and then 2 weeks after that, Georgia.
Oh,
he will decide his own fate in those next six games. I mean, if they go 4-2, if they're 5-3 after that stretch, he's got a chance. If he's 2-4 after those next six games, it's kaput, and it's just a matter of when they're going to make the announcement. So, as bad as the USF loss was, the good or bad news, depending on your thoughts on Florida, is he can still save his job or he can still seal his fate based on these remaining games. With that schedule, that's pretty much how it always was going to be this year. I don't think anybody expected, though, that he'd be out of the gate at 1-1. They figured it'd be 2-0 going into that
year. Yeah, for sure. Hey, so Notre Dame's an interesting one. I looked at that schedule. They got Texas A&M at home this week, and then that schedule, there's not much on there unless USC is some kind of surprise. I look at that thing. If they run the table, where could they end up? They're going to the playoffs, right, if they just have one loss to Miami, because that could happen.
We talked about earlier, you know, a couple weeks ago, is that was how important that win for Miami was, because for Notre Dame, now they're on the flip side. They have no equity built up. And you're right, they play A&M this week. If they run the table, 11-1 Notre Dame will get into the playoff.
Yeah, jeez.
At 10-2 Notre Dame that loses to Miami and Texas A&M, now you're putting it in the committee's hands, and that's not always a good thing. You mentioned the rest of their schedule. A lot of tomato cans. They do get USC. maybe ranked at that point. But again, I think a 9-3 SEC or Big team, or even a nine and three Miami compared with a 10-2 Notre Dame that loses to A&M and Texas, that loses to A&M and Miami. I think 9-3 Miami would get in over a 10-2 Notre Dame because they'd have the head-to-head. So I think this game is critical for Notre Dame's playoff hopes. Obviously, they got to take care of business the rest of the way. But, yeah, 0-2 start for Notre Dame, and, they'll be looking for one of those other bowls in Florida.
You know what's funny? I'm kind of looking big picture. You're 2 weeks going into the third week of the college football season, right? We're going into the second week of the NFL season, and there's so much turmoil. This guy should be fired.
Yeah.
What? And you're already saying, well, look, if this guy, you're already putting people in the, you're already putting people in the college playoffs and in the NFL. Oh, these coaches. I mean, there is no room to breathe when you get into football, whether it's college or in the pros, as you move forward.
Well, you've seen it. We see it now. Brett, to Bo's point, with what just happened with the Dolphins, looked terrible, and people are going, how long before these guys are gone? All of them, the whole team went,
yeah.
And everybody wants it now, man. Right. In today's world, like, okay, that's it.
Well, they project out from one game, you know. Yeah,
right.
Hey, geez, this team is going to be horrible.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm just, oh my gosh.
The most common tweet I saw was who was going to get fired first, the Gators coach or the Dolphins coach?
Yeah. And people are happy about it, right?
Yeah.
People are happy about it. Oh, man, I want this guy to be the guy.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's crazy. Oh, gosh. Brett, thank you, man. I really appreciate you coming on this morning. Are you coming down the game?
I'll be watching that one. That one doesn't rate same as the Notre Dame, is the convicts versus Catholics game.
There you go.
I'll be watching on the CW with the rest of America.
Yeah, you got it. I'll be there with you. Brett, thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider on 3 Sports. Scott Zolak, Patriots radio analyst, is going to join us. We're going to talk to him coming up here about their team, quarterback situation, what happened in the second half, and just how good are the New England Patriots right now. We'll have that with us. Ken Bocamper's in the studio. We're going to go to break here real quickly. But before we do, we got to talk about something that's part of sports that nobody likes to talk about, but it sure is nice to have. That's Baptist Health South Florida and that sports medicine program they put together. Enter Miami, the Heat, the Florida Panthers, the Miami Dolphins. They trust them. They trust them for team doctors and their specialists that they put together. When you put together an all-star team of specialists, knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles, you can go through the whole list of specialists they put together. That's how you become one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. Again, these doctors work Dade and Broward County. We're lucky. We got three great facilities, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility, and 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. All you have to do is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. They got one goal every day. It's about getting all of us healthy, back out playing the sports we all love the most.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sell at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
Thank you, Woody. Scott Zolak, Patriots radio analyst, former NFL quarterback, and got a hot show, 98.5, the Sports Hub, from 10 to 2 a.m. in Boston. Scott, thanks, man. It's been a while. How you doing, bud?
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys. What's up, Joe? Hi, Kim. How we doing?
Good, good. We've done better. Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw that crap show, or at least heard about it. It was terrible. I mean, it's the worst thing we've seen.
About it.
You just happen to hear a little something about it.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, so we're looking at you guys now and kind of wondering, you guys kind of the darlings of the off season, spent a lot of money, high draft pick, got a new tackle. How'd they look overall for the first week for you, Scott?
Who are you talking? The team in general?
Yeah, just in general.
They look sluggish. I don't want to say boring. I don't want to say hesitant, but you know they did make plays throughout the course of the game. You know the guys you went and got. I thought Spillane had some good pressures. Milt Williams, all those guys in the middle, and especially Landry off the edge. I think he had 2.5 sacks. But you guys know how fast Tua gets rid of the ball. It's going to be a matter of trying to cover these guys up, which we've really never done in, what, the last 3 years? I think Tua's, what, 7-0 against us?
Yeah, he's got so, – yeah, he's won a bunch, yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it.
What?
You're not coming off of his best game.
No, he's not. No.
Yeah. But it's weird, too. Like, you look at the Miami roster, you guys lost a lot of good players, you know. You know, get rid of Rams and bring in Fitzpatrick back. You know, Rip Van Winkle off the edge there. You guys could use him.
Yep.
He was a good pressure guy. He's a good linebacker. It just seems like he lost some core pieces. And, you know, the talk around the league and from people up here is that not that the coach lost the team, but I think a lot of people thought at some point it was going to come unraveled for him.
Yeah, well, we're wondering now going into week two. It's funny you said that because, yeah, that's what the fan base, which is about as salty as we can remember, and they should be. That thing was pathetic.
Yeah.
So, hey, Drake May, year two, I thought he was really good considering he had nothing with him down here last year. He played – I thought he was really, really good. How's he looking year two here now?
Well, I mean, it's only one game. It's Josh McDaniel's offense. You guys remember that from the Brady era.
Yeah.
He's got a lot on his plate. You know, that's a big talk of it up here. He just turned 23. The kid really should just be a rookie. But the experience last year, people was like, oh, he played scared on Sunday. I'm like, he did not. You know, he played 10 games last year. He's not afraid. I think he's not pulling the string. You know, I mean, he's not letting it go. As a quarterback, you got to believe it. You got to see it. And you got to let it go. I think he's hesitating right now. And who's a great quarterback, but they have really good stats. You know, Drake's got to find a way to win games, and that'll get him going.
So you got, you know, you kind of reshuffled your offensive line. You brought in some new players.
Yeah.
How much is that going to take him to feel comfortable in being able to stand back there if he needs to be back there, you know, the tick or two to get the ball out? How long do you think it's going to get him to feel comfortable in that situation?
Well, it's depending on what they're telling him. I think they want him to be a thrower first, runner second. He had really good wheels, man. And I think he paused at times in this game, or maybe he could have took off and he was trying to wait, get the throw in. It's just that whole rhythm of it. The more you play, the better you get. And he didn't play a lot in the preseason. I hate the way the NFL teams now approach the preseason. They sit everybody. Starters don't play. It's an annoying three-game stretch.
We agree, by the way. We are all talking like old schoolers with this new system because we look like we had a bunch of guys didn't play in the preseason the way they started. Will Campbell, fourth pick overall at tackle. Does he look like a fourth overall pick? He look all right?
Well, I'm used to fourth overall picks being quarterbacks or receivers or, you know, the pass rusher. You know, rarely do you take a guy like a Joe Alt 2 years ago at number three. We need a tackle, man. We were bad. You guys know we were bad at the tackle position the last 2 years. We're starting two rookies on that left side. So he and the kid Wilson from Georgia, and they, I thought, played better than the two veterans on the right side.
Wow.
Yep. There are a couple false starts to that, but they'll figure that out.
Hey, Christian Gonzalez, is he back this week? He's so good, man. He's had so many good games against the Dolphins. How's that looking?
I don't know. I mean, we're going on 6.5-7 weeks now with the hamstring. So,
oh boy,
you know, these soft tissue injuries, they suck because, you know, you think a guy's coming back and then maybe he re-injures it. I don't know. I'd say it's 50-50 plays. I really don't know, though. He wasn't in practice yesterday.
Hey, so I was – one thing that surprised me about your game going back, Geno Smith had 9 pass plays over 20 yards. And your secondary has given us, even through the good days for the Dolphins, that secondary, your two safeties and your corners have had great success playing against us.
Yeah, they have. They have. But, we don't have Jonathan Jones anymore. You know, we're able to go down there, and I know he would take Tyreek Hill in the past, and we'd try to double Waddle on the other side. You know, Marcus Jones is a really fast kid. I could see him getting on Tyreek this week. They paid Carlton Davis $20 million to come here and play opposite Gonzalez. So I do think, though, when we get Gonzalez back, we'll play a lot more man. I don't see us playing that much man this week, which is good for you guys.
Hey, how about Kyle Duggar? By the way, you want to talk about, like, all-time Dolphin, like that guy, I feel when he got that new contract, I was going, boy, the Dolphins had a lot to do with that. That guy was a tackling interceptions. He was phenomenal. Is he getting back to 100%, or is he kind of getting phased to a little bit of a background now?
Yeah, I think he's close to 100%, but I think he's lost a little bit of a step. You know, he's played a lot of games. You know, he had surgery in the offseason on that ankle. It's just a scheme fit for him. You know, he and Peppers, I thought, we're going to be, you know, sort of the two mainstays back there. And it's really the young rookie Woodson who's starting at safety. And, you know, he's playing pretty well. His fourth round pick out of Cal.
Hey, what about Mike Vrabel and the personality of this team that he's trying to develop? You know, you've kind of got that reputation as a tough guy. And so what are you seeing out of what this team is going to be probably, you know, mid-season?
Yeah, Mike's an intense guy. He's a bit of a ball breaker. He reminds me a lot of Bill Parcells. I would compare him more. People try to compare him to Belichick. He's not Belichick. He's more Parcells-like. Sort of tries to motivate each individual guy. He mixes it up in practice. He gets up.
All right. Anyway, we lost.
That's a coordinator. I'm sorry. You guys got me?
Yeah, we got you back. We got you back. That's okay. We got you again. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean – the guy's like Vrabel. He's a player's coach. you know, defensive guy, tough-minded. He's trying to instill the right type of culture here. And it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. Everybody thinks, oh, you're going to win 11 games this year. That's not going to happen.
Hey, by the way, I'll end it with this one. That stuff with Belichick and the team and Belichick, and now your scouts aren't allowed. I always think of you because you know Belichick as well as anybody doing the show all those years. Yep. So how do you handle that one? I'm just curious with the back and forth considering how many games that guy's won and all the championships?
Honestly, I really don't get it. I think it's Bill being petty right now. He can't, Brady, you know, when they ways here, you know, with the team, they offered his kids jobs here after it. Like, I just think this is a back and forth. He feels jaded. This is the way Bill acts. And he did this in a Super Bowl. Wouldn't play Malcolm Butler regardless of what the score was, you know, or how bad the defense was getting hurt. And we ended up losing it. So it's Bill being petty, and I don't like it.
Yeah. By the way, did you ever get to know the young girlfriend? Did you know about her or no? Did you know about that? Scott, were you holding out on me after all those years? Like, Bill's got a new secret there, man.
We're all surprised by everything that's going on.
All right? Scott. Hey, Scott. Hey, when things are so bad down here, brother, we have to do this.
I'll tell you more stories in the booth. And all the booths are coming down
to. That sounds good. Hey, bud, thank you so much. I appreciate it, man. We'll see you in a couple of days. Good talking to you.
I'll see you Sunday.
All right, man. Thank you. Scott Zolak, Patriots radio analyst.
You know, I the coach's show, he's doing that with that had to be tough with Belichick.
He did it the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's doing Vrabel. I know he and Vrabel.
You know, I actually saw that show a couple times. And actually, he was pretty good on it. Belichick was pretty good on that show.
You know, he did a radio show too, like for all the stuff.
Yeah.
He'd go on and you know, he didn't always like what he hear, but he stuck with it. I don't know.
It's like anyway. Everyone else when pay you enough and
right. That money, there's no question. There's no question about that. All right. Hey, we got 9 o'clock hour. Bo and I got a lot of Dolphin stuff to get to. Don't go away. We are not skipping anything this morning. We got some thin positions right now. We'll get into that. And we'll get into all the stuff with the coach and looking ahead here to game two and what might happen, all that straight ahead. But first, I do want to take a moment to tell you, man, it is truck month at your South Florida Chevy dealers. It should be because those are our big dogs. Those South Florida Chevy dealers love their trucks, and we got damn good durable trucks for you right now, like the Durable Colorado with its standard Turbo Max engine, impressive torque that it has. Maybe it's a Silverado 1500. Always ready, steady, and strong, delivering all the power you could ever want. For the workday workhorse and the weekend warrior, it doesn't matter. You work 5, 6, 7 days a week. We got a Silverado 1500, or, by the way, a Silverado HD, absolutely perfect for you. With the big payload numbers, legendary horsepower, and one of the hardest working beds in the business, you can't go wrong. Hey, you know what? Sometimes out there, this is how you make a living. And you don't just work 5 days a week. You work 6, 7 days a week. You work all month. And you need something that can work as hard as you do. Man, we got a perfect truck at your South Florida Chevy dealers with some great deals going on right now. Check it out at your South Florida Chevy dealer.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.